then the more love you ought to have. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner. So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the heart. You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety in music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On. Anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast. Featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. One of the things that you're going to discover as you are turning there is that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray in verse 9 through verses 13. Then in verse 16 through 18, he deals with fasting. And all this month we're dealing with prayer and fasting. And when you look at this word, there is something that is inescapably real about the fact that as he transitions from prayer to fasting, that there's an obvious concern right in the middle. And it says in the 14th verse, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, it costs too much not to forgive. It costs too much not to forgive. And my brothers and my sisters, one of the things that we get excited about, especially in the realm of faith, is the power of prayer and all that we can accomplish in the prayer realm. When we have circumstances and situations that are deep or dire, we then need something far greater to join with our prayer. And Jesus helps us to understand that there are just some mountains in your life, some strongholds in your life that praying alone won't fix. You'll have to join fasting to those prayers. And we'll get a little more deeper into that on next week if the Spirit of the Lord allows us to. But let me say in short that it's in that praying and fasting that you join together that is necessary in the spirit realm to do for you what you cannot do for yourselves. And one of the things that you will note is when you require more of God, God requires more of you. So when you want God to do the impossible, then God requires you to do the possible. In other words, God wants you to do all you can. When you desire him to do things that are impossible for you to do. But when we look at what concerns Jesus, right after he gets through teaching the disciples how to pray, I think it's helpful to us that we will look also at what Jesus deals with. And he deals with this issue of forgiveness. Forgiveness. I know it's not a major problem for the most of us, but there are a few of us that need this message this morning. There are a few of us that need to know some more about forgiveness. There are a few of us who need to understand that it costs too much not to forgive. And when we count up the cost and we recognize, my brothers and sisters, what Jesus is saying in this word, then I hope that we will understand that there must be a need of adjustment in our mindsets, a need of an adjustment in how we interact with men, how that we process this the way the Lord wants us to, because again, he's talking to his own people. He's not talking to the word, to the world. He's talking to the people of the word. This is a part, as I've shared with you from the historic and iconic Sermon on the Mount that began in the 5th chapter of Matthew and that extends all the way through the 7th chapter of Matthew. This is a part of that Sermon on the Mount that Jesus delivers to the people and wants them to understand this issue of forgiveness. Why? Because the enemy wins when we don't forgive. As a matter of fact, the enemy decreases you as a Christian and in your values and in your blessings and in your benefits when you don't forgive. Now, it's going to be hard for you to accept this next statement I'm going to make, but it's important for you to hear me. It does not matter what others do to you as much as it matters what you do to others. I don't think you heard me. I know many of us subscribe to the theory, do unto others first before they do unto you. You know, when we were coming up and stuff, if it looked like it was going to be a humbug, you get the first lick in. You hit them first. You catch them off guard. You know, and those who were scary and didn't want to fight would reach down and put a twig on the shoulder. And the other one, you knock it off. No, you knock it off. We bend down, draw a line there. You cause a line. No, you cause a line. Both of y'all go home. But those who knew the game, they struck first because they know they could strike fear. And it'll take a lot more to overcome that first lick. And so the enemy wants you to be in a position where you strike first and destroy the enemy rather than allowing the love of God to change the enemy. Do you know and do you recognize and realize that the problem with that mentality is that many of us, like Satan, don't want our enemies to change? So we put them in a position and hold them in a position where we keep them under our foot, in our minds, by not forgiving them, not speaking to them, not having anything to do with them, not treating them right, speaking down about them, trying to switch, change, and turn other people's minds against them. All of that because we won't forgive. Now look at this word. Jesus says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses." Now, one of the things that I want to do is just kind of show a little bit about this word men in its proper context. Now, here is one place where it does not say, "For if ye forgive your brethren their trespasses." If you forgive your friend their trespasses, it says if you forgive men. Now, this word men literally means mankind. That means that nobody is disqualified from this principle. That means if they are human and they sin against you, if they hurt you, if they do anything worthy of forgiveness, trespass against you, it is your responsibility to forgive them. Now, we can get in all the ramifications of the qualifications of giving forgiveness, but let's assume those things were met. Because a whole lot of folk will hear folks say, "I'm sorry," and then add to, which is not a part of the qualification, judgment, which says now after they ask for forgiveness, you can judge whether or not they're sincere. No, that's not in the word. If someone says, I'm sorry, forgive me, you no longer have the right to judge and not to forgive them because you don't feel that they're sincere because they didn't do it in the way that you thought they should have or the way you wanted them to do it, or they didn't suffer long enough, or they recognized their sin and immediately said, I'm sorry. So they didn't think about the consequences of their action. So I'm going to give them something to think about first. They did not have, in my opinion, enough sorrow connected with the word sorry for me to say you're forgiven. And so what the truth of the matter is I'm still processing underneath my own skin whether or not I want to release them from the indebtedness of my forgiveness, because I ain't through with holding on to the mess yet. See, sometimes we've got to get to that place where we feel like they've suffered enough and long enough, now I'll forgive them. But in the meantime, look at the damage we do to relationships. Look at the damage we do to others. And then more importantly, look at the damage you do to you. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, that's their sins, their wrongdoings, their mess-ups, their mistakes, etc., 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 your heavenly Father also will forgive you. Now, let's look at this word forgive. I want to put it in park here. I might have to turn the car off for a minute because I don't want to move too fast. I've already determined this ain't no shouting sermon. Because I can tell by the way you've already responded, you ain't ready to shout on this kind of message. So I'm not going to get my feelings hurt if you don't do nothing but just sit there and listen and take in what I'm telling you. Of the many definitions I discovered concerning forgiveness, five stood out in my thoughts. The first one with forgive is defined as lay aside. Lay aside. Now, when you forgive, the best way to forgive somebody is to get what they've done from in front of you, which means to release it from your consciousness consciously. In other words, when you keep thinking on the mess, it keeps making the mess more relevant to you. The more you think on it and give to it your attention, it then begins to grow in your mind. Because when you consciously put your thought patterns, processes into the picture, then you start trying to wonder, you start trying to analyze, you start trying to do things that you're not qualified to do as to why this thing happened, why this was said, why you were offended by what was done. And you go and give the devil too much by keeping it in the consciousness of your mind. So the first definition of this is lay it aside. Lay it aside. See, that one thing will happen first if you lay it aside. First thing is, you don't make a big deal out of it. Now, it may be a big deal, but you don't make a big deal out of it. Because what happens is when you make a big deal out of it, then the devil will help promote that deal. And he'll send folk around you who will aid and abet you in making this a bigger deal and who will throw in their 2 pence worth. And before you know it, you've taken something that's been this small and made a great big old mountain out of it because you would not lay it aside. If it's laid aside, my brother and my sister, then you then can focus on the right thing, and the right thing is forgiving them by going to God immediately and praying for them. The second definition was leave alone. To forgive means to leave alone. How many times have we been not able to leave it alone? I mean, I'm talking about after you've discussed it, after they have explained it, after they and you have cried about it, and then you say, are we all right? You say, yeah, we're all right. And then you come back and say, and another thing. I thought we were through with it. Now, listen at this, because I want to help somebody. Once you say, or that person says, I'm sorry, and you say you forgive them, you do not any longer have a right to keep going back to the subject, reopening the wound, and discussing it over and over again. If you need whatever it is you need, get it straight the first time. Because what you do is add insult to injury when a person has been, and see, but the truth of the matter is if you're going to be real, just say, listen, you have hurt me, and even though I hear you're sorry, I can't lay it aside, and I can't leave it alone. What I really want is details. I wish I had a help. You can sit there and act holier than thou. That's the reason why folk, that just don't make sense to me. I was thinking about it, and I just, why would you do that if such and such and such? I thought we were through with it. If you're through with it, leave it. But here's my thing. When you ask for details, be ready for details. Somebody don't hear me there. Listen, if you don't want to know, don't ask. If you do want to know, be prepared for whatever comes out of their mouths. Sometimes it's best just to leave it alone. But then the third definition for forgive was let it go. Let it go. These all are very similar, but they had a different twist and turn. Let it go. Why do you let it go? When you get to the point where you can't leave it alone, and when you get to the point where you just keep letting this bother you, then what you need to do for you is let it go. Because here's the thing, that even after the details and after the plea for forgiveness and after the discussion and all of the rest of the things that you go through, it's your holding on to it that continues to do you damage underneath the skin. That person no longer has an obligation to continue in what they've asked for forgiveness for. So that means this, and they go on with their lives. And you're the still same 5 years later. You see them, they're looking good, prospering, being blessed, man, and things are just going well for them. And they see you and they're glad to see you. And when you see them, they make you sick. When you see them, they just turn your inside. You like, what's wrong with you? People with you wondering what's going on with you because you got something against. Now listen at this. Many times, and God knows this is the truth in many cases, you have held on to that mess so long you'd have forgot what you were holding on to. You just know that there was something. You might remember maybe part of it, but you don't remember all the details to it. So you start manufacturing and making up the details you think went along with it. Let it go. Let it go. You do more damage to you holding on to unforgiveness. Let it go. When you don't let it go, here's what they say. I can forgive you, but I can't forget. You can forget if you let it go. When you let it go, you release it. When you release it, it's no longer yours. It's gone. The pain begins to subside. It may take days, it may take weeks, it may take months, but eventually, if you let it go, it will go. Somebody missed that. I said, if you let it go, it will go. The fourth definition of forgiveness was omit. Omit. There are just some things you don't have to include in the program. When you're telling the story, there are just some things you can leave out. You can omit. You don't have to fill everybody else in. So say, oh, this is so and so. Yeah, that dirty so and so. Huh? Yeah, you don't know. Let me tell you about him. Like, what? There's just some things you can omit. You ain't got to say everything you know. What about, because I'm about to throw this right back on you. What about if God would not omit some stuff about us? What about if God put everything he knew about us, both publicly and privately, on Front Street? What about when somebody prayed and said, God, I want to know about this person, if they're my mate, if they're the one for me. And God said, well, now let me tell you about them now. Now, they didn't already ask God for forgiveness. They already washed from their sins and so forth and all the rest of that, and they're right and straight with God. But God no longer, omits that. He just brings all that back in about that. Would you want to have anything to do with that person? I'm talking about you now. I'm talking about you, boo. You, I ain't talking about the other person. No, you wouldn't want to have anything to do with them because they wouldn't want to have nothing to do with you, because if God wouldn't omit all of the stuff about you, there's nothing folk would want to have to do with you.
How many of you agree you have come from a mighty long way? You've changed. You put down a lot of your bad habits and wrong ways, lying tongue, stealing hand, on and on and on. You ain't the person you used to be. And thank God that he omits all of that mess that you used to be and used to do. And then the last one of many definitions that I thought would be helpful in this message is yield up.